Matthew chapter number 9. I just heard a cute little story before I came up to the stage tonight. There was a young pastor who had a little daughter who came up to her dad and she said, "Daddy," she said, "why do you always pray before you preach?" He said, "Well, sweetheart," he said, "I pray so that way God will help me as I preach." She said, "Daddy, how come he doesn't answer your prayers?" Amen. Amen. I thought that was good. Thank you, Paul, for that. I appreciate that. That was good. That was compliments of Paul King out there. I don't know if he was trying to throw a hint to me or what, but you got to be careful of those bald-headed guys back there. You know what I mean? Amen. Christy, I don't know how he talked you into marrying him. I really don't. I don't know what he said, but God bless you guys. Love y'all. Appreciate you and your good, faithful work. Look at Matthew chapter 9, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, very common passage whenever we talk about the area of missions. The Bible says, "And Jesus went about all cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted, were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Tonight I want to talk about this subject here, why missions? Why missions? This coming Wednesday, as you well know, we're kicking off this missions conference. Truthfully, it's a big undertaking to invite three missionary families, to invite a keynote speaker, to hopefully anticipate a good crowd of people that will come. Anytime you have a meeting, I always feel from a preacher's standpoint, will anybody show? Well, there's a lot that's going to be put forth. There's been a lot already that's been put forth in ideas. There's been a lot of things that have been put forth in putting a program together, inviting missionaries to come, asking a keynote speaker. There's going to be a lot of money that will be put out with regards to an honorarium for these guests. We always love to give an honorarium, and we want to make sure that these people are well cared for. And so really the question is asked is, with all this effort, all the things that are happening, why are we doing all this? Why is it that we're having a missions conference? Why is it that we care to send anybody across the bodies of water to other lands to get the gospel to people we don't know, people we'll never see? I couldn't help but come back to Matthew chapter 9 and look really at the greatest example that there truly is, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to put it in these terms, Jesus himself was a missionary. Jesus was the greatest missionary. Jesus was the greatest supporter of missions. Jesus was the greatest proponent of people getting out to the various fields to minister as missionaries. And I look at Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38, and I truly find that there are four things about the life of Jesus that really help me in understanding why we have a missions program and why we support now 42 missionaries around the world. Recently, we just took on three missionaries that added on to our fleet. That's 42 missionaries. Why are we doing all this? Number one, I want you to notice the custom of Jesus. Look at verse 35. The Bible says, "And Jesus went about all cities and villages." He didn't just hand select a few. I remember when I first came here to Calvary Baptist, and I'll never forget standing right here, right in front of the pulpit, and I had a Q&A time with the, I don't know, there must have been 50, 60 people that were there at that time, and they had a lot of questions and answers, questions for me that I was to answer. And I'll never forget, it seemed to be that there was a number of questions that came along. Pastor, what are you going to do to bring in young people? And they said, I remember one of the persons said, look at us. We got a bunch of gray heads right across here. We need some young people. And I'll never forget the answer that I gave. I said, I'll do everything that I can. And I threw out a few ideas of things that we would do for young people. But I said, I'll never forget the old folks that are here. You know what's wrong with a lot of young pastors is they come in and they say, oh, phewy on the older people. We're going for the young kids and we're going for the young generation. Let me just tell you something. Every church is to be made up of every group of people. A healthy church has older people, middle-aged, young people, children, teenagers that are flooding the halls of that church. And Jesus went about, he didn't select cities and say, well, I don't like that city or I'm not going to that. Jesus went to every village and every city doing what? Preaching the gospel. You know why we're to do missions? Because Jesus was already involved in missions. Jesus was already going out. Look at the things that he was doing in all these cities and villages. The Bible says he was teaching in their synagogues. He was preaching the gospel, and he was healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Jesus was actively involved in doing ministry. Now, let me say this very kindly, but I'm going to put it out very simply. Many people who don't understand why a church has a missions program, why a church has a missions conference, many times they don't understand those things because they're not actively involved in getting the gospel out. And so they sit back and scratch their head and they say, well, why would you spend all this money? Why would you have all these missionaries come? I'll tell you why. When you get involved in doing ministry, you'll see that the need is great out there. Jesus got out and preached the gospel to all who needed to hear. Jesus taught in the synagogue to help people. And Jesus' heart was so moved by the people who had the diseases and the sicknesses that he went through to heal them. And as Jesus went about, his actions show why we have a missions emphasis, because of the actions of Jesus. You look through the Gospels, and what do you see? You know, a lot of people like to pull out all, well, boy, I like these miracles. I like that miracle. I like what he did there. I like what he did there. I want you to just think about this. Whatever famous story you have of Jesus, whatever famous miracle you have, whatever thing that you like to put out, do you know the thrust of the Gospels is all about the fact that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost? Jesus came for the purpose of preaching the gospel of the kingdom, teaching people and healing people to point them to the kingdom of heaven. That was his whole thrust. Now you come into the book of Acts. What was the book of Acts? Well, the full title of the book of Acts is literally this, the Acts of the Apostles. And what were the apostles doing? They were carrying forth what Jesus taught them to do. Jesus taught them to go ahead and preach the gospel. Jesus taught them to get that gospel to the known ends of the world, and therefore that's what they were doing, and they began to spread out through the world getting that gospel. So I want to tell you something tonight. If you're sitting here and you're saying to yourself, well, I'm not sure about this missions conference stuff. I don't know. You know, this morning you talked about giving and supporting it and putting in my faith promise and all that, and I'm a little reticent. Maybe you're reticent because you don't have the heart and you're not fulfilling the actions that Jesus put forth. If you're involved in ministry, I'm not saying you've got to get behind a pulpit and preach. I'm not saying you have a Sunday school class, but are you actively involved in reaching people with the gospel? Are you getting the tracts off of that back table and handing them out to people? Are you stopping people along the way and asking them, hey, if you died today, do you know where you'd go? Are you engaging yourself in conversation with people? Because if you are, then missions is no problem for you. It's a part of what we do. And so may I say, why missions? Because of the custom of Jesus. Everywhere Jesus went, he preached. He shared the gospel. But notice verse number 36, the next thing, the concentration of Jesus. The Bible says, but when he saw the multitude. What do you think he saw? What do you think grabbed his attention? I don't know how many out here are people that like to, that you're people watchers. I won't ask you for a show of hands, but I guarantee there's probably some people out here that like to go to a mall and just watch people. I've known people like that. They like to sit back and just kind of look at, oh, look at that one. Ooh, look at that purse that lady's carrying. Or look at this, or look at that. Ooh, look at that hair. I like that hair. You know, I hear my wife all day. I like the hair on that one, you know. Hey, sweetheart. I don't like that little look she gave me. But anyways. Where was I? No. But truthfully, there are people that love to be people watchers, and they're looking at different things of people. But can I say, when it came to Jesus, Jesus didn't just sit on a park bench just to kind of waste a little time away and just watch people go by and say, oh, look at all those people. I want you to notice the word saw in verse 36. We may not get the sense in the English word S-A-W, but the original word gives us this aspect. He literally had a stare, a concentration. Now, what do you think gripped his attention? Well, we're going to get into the next phrase in just a moment, but I want you to notice why you and I have missions, because Jesus took the time to look and to concentrate and to stare at the needs and to be able to say, I got to do something. You know what our problem is? We're too consumed with our agenda. We're consumed with our work. Nothing wrong with work. Nothing wrong with you making money. But can I say that whatever profession you have, God has given you that profession and allowed those people to come around you so you can influence them for the gospel. Someday you're going to stand before God and you're going to give an account for every person God brought your way. And not for the sake of a business, not for the sake of a sale or a transaction, but for the sake of the gospel. God brings those people by you. And many times we're so consumed with what we have to take care of today, and I've got to do this thing, and I've got to take care of that, and I've got to take care of that, that we forget the people that are passing us by. There are people passing us by every single day. And what moved Jesus was he took the time to look at people and say, there's a need, I got to meet it. There's a need there, I got to fulfill that need. There's a need right there, I got to take care of that. And it's because he saw the multitudes. I think many times people don't see. We talk about missionaries, and we have missionaries come in, and oh, we're wowed by the videos that show us and the pictures of all the people. But my friend, you and I ought to be captivated ourselves like those missionaries are. Let me tell you, we may not be in a metropolitan city. We may not be, and thank God we're probably not in one of these big metropolitan cities. But I'm telling you, there's enough people around here that we've got a job to do in reaching them with the gospel. And you and I ought to start looking up from our own feet and looking right in front of us and all the things that we have and start looking at the people. I'll tell you what, there's some great needs out there. I don't know who I was with recently, but I was in a restaurant somewhere. And I don't do this all the time, but when I think of it, I saw the waitress and I said, oh, my wife was with me, and we had a group of people with us. And I said, can I pray for you? Is there something? We're going to pray for our meal. I said, can I pray for you? She sat down. She said, oh, yeah, you can pray for us. And she gave us her prayer request. And I'll tell you what, it was something that she really had a need for. But, you know, and through the whole time, I looked at this waitress, and I thought, there's somebody that she needs God. Jesus. Why missions? Because Jesus himself had a custom of getting out there with the gospel. Jesus concentrated on people, wasn't concerned about him. But notice number 3, verse number 36, notice the compassion of Jesus. I can't help but think that on the numerous occasions that as he stared and concentrated on people, he was moved. Notice that. It didn't just say he had compassion. It didn't say that he just had this little bit of pity. Not the same thing as pity. He really was moved with compassion. Now, there's a lot of people who will see the need and they'll say, huh, there's a need. I hope somebody fulfills it. Oh, there's something. I'll tell you, I hope the pastor thinks of some way to get some program to reach that need. No, I'll tell you, my friend, if God is moving upon your heart and you see it and you're staring at it and you're concentrating on it, God is giving it to you to say, step forward. Jesus was moved with compassion. I think the reason many churches have quit having missionary conferences and have quit their mission support is a lot of the reason is that they don't have the compassion for the lost souls that are out there. They don't have the compassion. Oh, they're concerned with their fellowships. Now, is there anything wrong with a fellowship? Man, I'm looking forward to having a great cake fellowship afterwards. It's going to be wonderful. But we as Calvary Baptists don't live for fellowships in the fellowship hall. I'm sorry to say it. Sorry, Hazel. Hazel's in charge of the kitchen. I'm sorry about that. But we don't live for the kitchen. We don't live for the fellowships. We live for getting the gospel out. And the fellowships are a byproduct. But too many churches are concentrated on the fellowships. They're concentrated on the little internal ministries, the little things that they can do, the little dinners, the little trips, the little get-togethers, and they forget there are people every day that are dying without Christ. And Jesus looked at all the needs, and he was moved with compassion. And I give you this last point. Notice here. The commission of Jesus in verses 37 to 38. Because he was moved with compassion, and what did he see? The people fainted. They were scattered abroad. They were like sheep that had no shepherd. But notice verse 37. He gave this commission. He said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. It's ripe. It's ready. There's plenty of work to do, if you will. But here's the sad part. The laborers are few. What's the latest count we have on people in this world? Somewhere over 7 billion people. I told you this morning, I have missionaries that are calling on a regular basis, but I'll be honest with you, we don't have enough missionaries going out. It has been the last 10, 15 years, we have had more missionaries retiring than we've had going to the field. More missionaries have been coming off the field than have been going. And Jesus, 2,000 years ago, noted that the laborers are few. There's a great ability out there, a wonderful harvest, but there's not enough laborers to go. Therefore, we need the laborers. So what does Jesus say? Pray ye, you, tonight in your prayer time, get down and pray that God would provide people. But don't just pray for other people. Pray for you. My burden for this missions conference is twofold. Number one, that every person that would name Calvary Baptist their home would grab hold of the opportunity to give in some way so we could expand our missions program. That's one goal that I have. Now, as I shared this morning, I'm not going to come, I'm not a salesperson. Please understand that. I'm not going to be throwing all sorts of pitches out to you. I'm going to share through the conference. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to encourage you in any way that I can. But once the conference is over, it's really between you and God. But my prayer has been for a long time. In fact, we were supposed to have this conference in March. And I've been praying since March that God would cause through this auditorium that every person would say, here's what I'm going to give. My fear is that there's a lot of people that aren't giving hardly anything to missions. And I'm praying that every one of us would have some stake in the game, above and beyond our tithe. Your tithe is what's for here. Your tithe supports the home here. Your tithe is what is for this storehouse, but the offerings, the things that are done above the tithe, are really what we use for the missions. And so my prayer is for this faith promise and this card that you've received, that you would prayerfully consider. But number two, I'm praying that God would use you as a missionary. It might be that God is calling someone in this room, part of this church, to go to the mission field. Now, I'd hate to lose you. But if I lost a person from Calvary Baptist because they were going to the mission field, I would think it'd be the greatest thing in the world. For us as Calvary Baptist to be a sending church for someone from here who's going to a particular country and saying, preacher, I'm dying at that country. I'm going there to get the gospel. Beautiful. But I do know that most everybody's not going to go outside of the area of Englewood. This is your home. This is where God's called you. This is where God's called me. And so therefore, every one of us, though, may not be a missionary somewhere else, but we need to be a missionary right here. I've been praying that through this conference, every one of us would almost have a little fire lit under us. There'd be something that would spark our attention and would motivate us to be a missionary. Why missions? I think Jesus set the greatest example. His custom showed us everything he did was all missions minded. The concentration of him, it was focused on people. The compassion of Jesus and the commission of Jesus. It was Henry Martin, the missionary to India and Persia, who had this to say about missions, and I quote, "The Spirit of Christ is the spirit of missions. And the nearer we get to him, the more intensely missionary we must become." I think if you're here tonight and your relationship with God is pretty shallow, you're not going to get much out of this missions conference. You might come a night or two, you might be here next Sunday, and you might say, "Oh, preacher, that was nice," but nothing has shaken you. It's because your relationship with Christ is where it ought not is where is not where it should be. A.T. Pearson had this to say about missions: if missions languishes, it is because the whole life of godliness is feeble. The command to go everywhere and to preach to everybody is not obeyed until the will is lost by surrender in the will of God. Living, praying, giving, and going will always be found together. Are you surrendered to God tonight?